I'm Poonam. I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Poonam.
I am so grateful to be in this chair today because I never, ever expected to be in this place. When I came to the program about 13 years ago, maybe it was, I was 240 pounds, 100 pounds more than I am today. I wore a size 22, 24. I was rupturing out of it, but I was just being stubborn. I was in a very hopeless, desperate place. I had been a compulsive overeater as far back as I could remember. I remember at age 5, my dad put a mound of sweet things in front of me, thinking that if he got me to OD on them, I would never want another one again. And I just, somehow, I was just puzzled by the experience, humiliated. I don't even know why, but I stole food in elementary school. I stole money from my dad's handkerchief because he had a way of putting his handkerchief full of loose change on the counter to go to the snack shop and buy things. I stole food from other kids. And it's just progressed. It progressed. By the time I came to the first meeting, I had triplet babies that were about three years old. I had tried every single thing I could think of. Everything worked for a little bit. I had tried Weight Watchers a few times, Jenny Craig, all the diets, including Atkinson's and South Beach and banana cabbage and diuretics, and I tried it all. And it frustrated me no end that every time I went to the doctor said, lose weight. I didn't want to hear that anymore. It frustrated me, made me angry. Because it's easy to say, need to lose weight. Well, I knew I needed to lose weight. And I was genuinely trying, and I had tried. I had hypertension. The doctor, for the last 5 years, was trying to put me on Lipitor. My triglycerides, cholesterol, everything was sky high. I had had raging gestational diabetes when I was pregnant with my kids. Till the doctor ran out of the insulin they could give me, and they were talking about some insulin made out of pig's cells or something like that. Some experimental thing it sounded like. I was borderline diabetic, after the kids were born. So I just felt so desperate. I felt I was going to die. I had spent 10 years trying to have these children and that I wasn't going to live long enough to see them grow up into teenagers. I was just beside myself. I had heard about bariatric surgery, and that was the only thing I could think that would do it for me. I felt like I had 85 pounds to lose. I was big boned. That's what I thought. I thought I was big boned. And so the insurance wasn't going to pay for it. So I was used to working in secrecy. All my plans of losing weight were secret plans. I couldn't tell anybody. So even the bariatric thing was secret. You know, I was researching it on the computer. I got a catalog from somewhere, whatever. I didn't tell my doctor, I have only 85 to lose. What do you think? No, of course not. Everything was secret. I could do it. And I was feeling hopeless. I saw an article in the Chronicle about OA. Total miracle, because I haven't seen a front page article on OA in the Chronicle since. And it said this was the last house on the block for people who wanted to lose weight. So I decided to give it a try. I went to my first meeting. It was a tiny little meeting. And I don't know why I was shaking. I was so overwrought with emotion just at the idea of trying this last thing. And the moment I sat down and I started listening to people talking at the meeting, I had a powerful sense of connection and coming home for the very first time in my life. These people were talking about what it was like for me on the inside. Everything that I had felt, it seemed like, here were my people. It was a miracle. These people knew what it was like for me on the inside because I'd always been ashamed and struggled alone. I decided to do whatever these people were doing because I had tried everything else anyway. I started going to the meetings. Very soon, somebody offered to be my temporary sponsor, like at my second meeting or third meeting. She said she was out of town. Temporary sponsor, that sounded good. Anything long-term serious commitment was too scary. I also heard people talking about being abstinent from sugar and three meals a day. And I knew that I was going to become diabetic, full-on raging diabetic, very soon if I didn't stop my sugar binge. Because I binged on sugar morning till night in some form or the other. All I ate, I overate constantly. Every night I ate till it hurt before I went to bed. I had eaten food out of the garbage, spoiled food, burned food, food squirted with soap on it till I couldn't stand to see a bottle of palm olive, lemon, or whatever. I had done it all. And one morning I decided to try the sugar-free thing and see how far I could get. And it was noon and I hadn't had sugar, and it was evening and it was night, and I just was beside myself. You know, I had to put myself to bed because there hadn't been a day when I hadn't binged on sugar. Because with three toddlers running around the house, that was my quickest thing, was sugar. So I went to bed, and it was such a big miracle to me. I had been so terrified of the diabetes thing, of sticking needles into my hands several times a day, because I'd experienced that the entire length of pregnancy, that this was a miracle. A day without sugar didn't happen in my life, and I wasn't going to jinx it. So I held on, day two came, and day three came, and I knew that if I jinxed this one, I wasn't going to see that again. Because only I knew that sugar was my heroin. I was tied to it by my neck, by my feet. I was a slave. And I was sugar-free. I was sugar-free. Once it was a week, a month, a year, I've been sugar-free ever since. But being sugar-free is one thing. I can do a lot of damage with all the other foods that are available to me. So I had lost some weight, but it started coming back with a vengeance. I was yo-yoing. I tried the steps because I was going to regular meetings. Even going to regular meetings and being sugar-free didn't do it for me. I was yo-yoing. I was eating. I could do so much damage with all the other foods. The fried foods were there. All the crackly fried snacks were there. And the fats, the carbs. And I was beginning to feel unhappy again. I dabbled in the steps. I sort of did a fourth step, the easiest, the softest, the gentlest way I could. I had a lot of secrets and shame and feelings of isolation. I was at a meeting in San Francisco, and I heard this person say that she didn't negotiate with food. It was like a bombshell. I negotiated, other than sugar, I negotiated with food all day. And even sugar, I tried to do the diet sugars, you know, the sweeteners with no sugar and so on and so forth. Or I had been beginning to start on those, because for a while I was completely sugar-free. Because I negotiated with food. I come from a culture where everything is negotiable, parking tickets and husbands and dowries, everything, you know? I mean, that's how it is. So then the next time I was sharing at a meeting, I said that I had seen people, I had been coming to the program for 8 years. The only reason I didn't walk out of the door is because I'd been out there and I knew that nothing else worked for me. And I was sharing how I felt like a giant tanker who couldn't turn in the water, whereas I had seen a lot of people come into the program after me and get the recovery. But I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't make that switch, couldn't turn. After the meeting, she came to me and she said, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. The condition you're describing sounds very painful. I'm like, really? It doesn't have to be that way? What do you mean? She said, why don't you write, and she is very direct. She said, why don't you write and see what you are truly afraid of to give yourself to this program? I didn't think I was afraid of the program. I didn't think I was afraid of giving myself completely to the program. I didn't know what she meant. She said, yeah. I said, write? She's like, yeah, write just for 2-3 minutes for the next 2-3 days to see what you're truly afraid of to give yourself to the program. Because I valued her recovery so much. I had heard her share at that particular meeting for a while. I decided to do what she was saying. So the next morning, I swept my store. I sat down and wrote for 2-3 minutes. I'm not even sure how it came up, but slowly I realized that I was afraid of starving. I was afraid of being thin. I was afraid of having to give up my most favorite foods, because thin people were starving people in my mind, and I ate proactively. Next time I heard her say that she practiced a daily written 10 step, and she wrote step 3 prayer word for word. She wrote whatever was up in her mind, her fears, her resentments, her angers, or whatever else came up, ended with step 7 prayer word for word, and gave it away to somebody. And food became low-grade static for her, and she felt the presence of her higher power palpably around her. I wanted that. I was ruled by food from day to night. I wanted food to be low-grade static. So I talked to her after the meeting. I wrote down those 2 prayers. I found them, and the next day I started writing, and I started calling somebody to give those away. The process of doing that felt like being naked in front of a room full of people. It felt so vulnerable, so intensely vulnerable. It unzipped me, and food became low-grade static. I had been in isolation. I had been in secrecy. Everything, I ate in secrecy. Of course, I also ate in front of other people. But it just broke all that, and I had been molested at a young age in very early childhood for a long period of time. The food was just gone. It became low-grade static. The weight started coming off. In the first year, I think I lost 30 pounds, and I lost another 30 the next year. Abstinence became a way of life. I asked her to become my sponsor. I started writing the daily 10th step. I heard it takes 2 meetings to survive and 3 to thrive. I started doing 3 meetings a week, which I do now. I started a daily practice of meditation. I realized that it's not the food that feeds me, certainly not the excess food. It just takes me to self-hatred and self-flogging. It just hurts me. What feeds me is the program. What feeds me today is abstinence, the AA way, where the lid is firmly on the bottle. I eat 3 meals a day. My meals are measured, all of them. My tortillas, which I don't weigh every day, tend to get bigger unless I weigh them periodically. They get heavier. And what feeds me is meditation. What feeds me is coming to meetings and speaking my truth and listening to other people's truth, listening to my kids, going for a walk, of being of service, connecting with people, and even seeing my fears. When I do my daily writing, I see my fears, and seeing them, acknowledging them, lets me put them down. It is amazing how simple practice of abstinence, 3 meetings a week, daily writing, going to any lengths to protect that abstinence, sharing, doing the step work. I did the step work this time with a couple different sponsors. I did step work, and I decided it was a matter of life and death. The gain I was getting was going to be lost unless I was willing to be completely honest in my step work. I did a searching, fearless, thorough inventories. I did a sexual inventory first because I'd been molested over a period of time. And then I did an inventory with all my resentments and angers, gave those away, and it brought me to self-acceptance, self-love, things. I wasn't eating the food. It were all these things that were eating me. I was able to set them down. I realized that I don't have to hurt myself with food. or what other people are doing, as long as I just, I lost what I was going to say. I don't have to hurt myself. As long as I hold my higher power's hand, as long as I stay in touch with myself and stay abstinent. And the reason I'm talking so much about abstinence today is because I have something very challenging happening in my life right now. Somebody who helped me at my store for years is leaving, and I need to find a replacement. It's a very scary thing. I was scared of it even way before it happened. And when I'm in transition, more than anything else, I need to hold the program close to me, hold my abstinence close to me, and hold my practices close to me so I can see the way. And this is a one day at a program. I get a reprieve if I'm willing to practice it one day at a time. Thank you.